the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jack. I'm afraid I don't have a quiz or a game, but I do have the Word of God, so, you know, that's better. I come here every Sunday with my wife Jenny and my children Eli, Lyra and Ezra. Ezra was the one breakdancing on the stage a minute ago. My job today is to read the passage that little radio play was based on and to just share a few thoughts on it. So we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 16 verses 1 to 8 today. If you've got a Bible you might want to turn to that, but I will put it up on the screen as well if you want to read along there. So we're reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now you'll see if you read the footnotes in the Bible that this is traditionally where the book of Mark ends, in the very earliest manuscripts of Mark. And it's a bit of an abrupt ending, isn't it? It's a bit confusing in some ways. You might expect that the women, when they've seen the angel and they've heard that Jesus has been risen, that they might be a little bit happier. They might go out celebrating and tell everyone the good news straight away. But instead, we're told that they were afraid. They were bewildered. They go away and tell no one. So why do they do this? What's this all about? Well, I think it points to something that we can quite easily forget. We've grown up hearing the Easter story, the story of Jesus dying and rising from the dead. It's become something that we learn in our RE lessons, and it's just a kind of nice ending to a happy story. In our culture, it's sometimes seen as more of a myth than a historical reality. But the reaction of these women tell us how serious this event really is. It's not just a nice ending to a happy story. If it's true, then it's world-breaking. It's once in all of history, life-changing event. For the women, they think it's quite literally unbelievable. They think no one's going to believe them, so they run away scared and tell no one. What does that mean for us as Christians then? Do we have to believe in something that seems crazy? That seems like it's not really possible? Like the game Gemma's just been playing, is it fake? Can't you just follow Jesus and sort of listen to what he says and do what he says without really believing in all that stuff? Well, Paul, who wrote lots of the New Testament, he certainly thinks not. He says this in 1 Corinthians, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." It's pretty strong words from Paul. He's saying, go big or go home, you've got to believe it all. There's no point being a Christian if you don't believe in the resurrection. It's useless. So where does that leave us? Do we take it on faith that it happened and just believe in something that seems ridiculous? Well, faith is certainly important. It's a big part of it. But there's also many reasons to believe based on reason, based on evidence. Now, unfortunately, I don't have time to go into all of those reasons today. But if it's something you're interested in, here's a few places you can start looking. This book, The Case for Christ, is a great book by an investigative journalist who, somebody close to him became a Christian, and he decided to look into it himself. He investigated it in a really deep way and came to the conclusion that there's plenty of evidence that Jesus is who he says he was. There's a version for adults and a version for kids. No judgment which one you decide to choose. Also, this podcast I listened to last week, it's The Diary of the CEO. Stephen Bartlett talked to this guy, Wes Huff. If you like sort of ancient biblical manuscript stuff, he probably comes up in your YouTube algorithm every now and again. He's quite a popular biblical historian who talks a lot about the evidence for Jesus and the resurrection. So go check that out. So what then if he really did rise from the dead? What does that mean for me and you today? Well, if Jesus really did rise from the dead, if it's true, it changes everything. You can't just go on living your life if it actually happened. It means that Jesus really was who he said he was. All the claims he made, everything he did, it was true. He really was the Son of God, and he came to save us. It also means that he's a God who can do the impossible. Paul says again in his letter to the Romans, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can now be living in you. We believe in a God who is alive and he wants to know us. And he can do impossible things. Now, it's important to say that Jesus is not a genie. You can't just make a wish and everything you want will come true. That's not how it works. We have to trust that God knows better than us. But those of us in this room who have been living with Jesus for a while, we will be able to tell you and experience that Jesus can do impossible things in our lives. Jesus can give a sense of worth to people who feel worthless. He can give freedom to people that are stuck in addiction. He can give a sense of hope in times of darkness and suffering, an impossible hope and peace. He can give meaning and purpose to those who are lost. But the most important thing of all, the most impossible thing, he can meet you as you are, separated from God by your sin and brokenness. And he says to you, I forgive you. Come home and be part of my family. Now, you may have done things that you don't think can be forgiven. You might not be able to forgive yourself. That might be your impossible today. Well, Jesus takes your impossible and he says, hold my grave clothes. So I'm going to leave you with this question. Who is this man? The band are going to come up. By the end of the series, we've been looking at this term at Belmont. I want to rephrase that question slightly in the way that Jesus does in Mark 8. He says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? If that's a question that you're still struggling with, well, don't let that question go unanswered because it's really important. Don't sit on the fence. Make sure you decide for yourself who Jesus is and whether he's for you. And if you're still unsure, then you can ask him. Ask him to reveal himself to you. You know, you can do that, you know, because he's not dead. He's alive.
Almost at the end of the service, but I just want to talk about something that Question of Sport used to talk about. And the Question of Sport, they always had this round where they froze the action at a certain point and said, well, what happens next? What happened next at Easter? How does what we've just heard about from Jack, what we've just celebrated in communion, make a difference to our lives? At the end of Mark's Gospel, we read these things, didn't we? Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said, what did they say to everybody? They said nothing. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That really is a bit of a cliffhanger, isn't it? What happened next? Because clearly somebody said something because we're here now, aren't we? Celebrating that. So what happened next? Of course, we know that what happened there in the tomb was not the end of the story. Other people wrote about this as well. And they said that Easter wasn't just an ending, that's why we think about the cross, but also a beginning of something because he called us to follow him and be his disciples. In fact, in John's Gospel, it says this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending. Who's he sending? You. I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here's some things that resurrection does. Number one, it provokes conversion. It says, if Jesus really died for my sin, if he is alive now, and if that is available to me, then my life needs to change. And the challenge of Easter Sunday begins there. Do we take on board what Jesus has done for us? Do we allow him to change our lives? Will we take that step of faith that says, maybe I'm going to find out whether this really is true? Secondly, not only does it provoke conversion, it also issues a commission. It tells us that we have something to go and do. Go, he said. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. We are carrying on what Jesus came to do. I wonder what that was. In some ways, Jesus resuscitates us and sends us back out. He gives us new breath. Resurrection is cosmic CPR. Staying alive, staying alive. And then you're sent out once your heart starts beating again because your heart had gone cold to say, go and live. Don't just exist. Go and live and celebrate and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What happens next? Well, what happens next is the church. That's what happens next. We talk here about what we do is we share the story and we live the life. How can we do that? Because we were dead and now we're alive. Staying alive, staying alive. Go! That's what's happening here today. Receive the breath of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Just as God breathed on creation, breathed on humanity at the beginning, so he breathes on us afresh after Easter and says, new life. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? People, what happens next is the church. People who gather together to follow Jesus. People who offer their lives to be servants of Jesus. People who live a life that shares the life of Christ. People who share the story of Christ. People who worship together. People whose lives are changed by forgiveness. People who enter into a new creation and believe in a hope which isn't changing like shifty shadows, but which is eternal and for you. The energy of that new life is real. I want you to feel energized by today. God is alive in Jesus, and he's saying to you that this is your life too. I love it in the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's my favorite bit of it. When Aslan is raised from the dead, you know what he says? Oh, children, I feel my strength coming back to me. Catch me if you can. Catch me if you can. Isn't that a lovely teasing phrase? Jesus is out ahead of you. I feel my strength coming back to me. Come on, chase me. Pursue me. Let's do this together. It's roaringly good news. And Jesus, like Aslan, roars. Who can roar here? Anybody? Can you just give me your roar? That was very good. I wonder if everybody together, we want a big roar to say this. After three. One, two, three. Wow. Wow. That was really good. Jesus is alive and he roars to say, wake up! It's time to get going. And it's Easter energy that Paul talks about when he says in Ephesians, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. I've been a Christian for 37 years, I think. It's easy to drift off and feel like you're dozing your way through. Easter, to me, every year is a reminder. Don't fall asleep. It's not the time to fall asleep. It's the time to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. And that's why I found this today. Yeah. What did you say it was? It's morning. Absolutely it is. So, my friends, at the end of this Easter Sunday service where we have celebrated what happened next through what Jack told us, the question that we leave here with is this. What happens next? It's time to wake up. And that's up to you. God bless you. We're going to sing again.